Hello, friends, and welcome to another issue of Portographic. This is issue number 54. I'm Brian Mann.
I'm Brian Mitchell.
I'm Eric Mitchell.
So, how are you guys doing?
It's been a day.
It's been a day.
A week.
A couple weeks.
A month and a half.
Yeah. It's something like that.
But you know what makes it better?
Beer.
Comics.
Comics. And beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what's the perfect combination of that?
Two parts beer for every one part comic.
This podcast. But I think that's also two parts water, one part beer?
Never. No. No.
Oh.
I mean, if they made water flavored with barley and hop. Oh, they do. Never mind.
Yes. 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 Indeed, they do. So you went on a journey.
Yeah, not a long journey, but from Blue Springs to, I guess, Johnson Drive. It's about a 34-minute drive.
OP, Overland Park, Kansas.
Is that
Miriam?
Yeah.
Shawnee.
Right. Yeah.
In that area.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Shawnee, Kansas.
And that's how you know we're from here, because we didn't say Shawnee Mission, Kansas, because that place doesn't actually exist.
Yeah. So I'd been wanting to try this brewery for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I followed them on Twitter because there was a lot of different local breweries that I like that were friends with them and following. And so the wife and I went out there and tried a flight, and every beer was fantastic. But one in particular stood out. It was a white chocolate strawberry daiquiri beer. Daiquiri beer.
Yeah.
All right. Let that sink in for a second.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard of a daiquiri beer. Because
that's normally made with like tequila, right? Like a daiquiri? Or is that rum?
Rum, possibly. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not a mixologist.
Nope.
But it's like a milkshake IPA. Those things don't sound like it should be, right? They also had a milkshake IPA that was pretty delightful.
Does it bring all the boys to the yard?
Wow. So, Eric usually talks about our beers, but...
Yeah, you're fired.
our daiquiri beer series is a whimsical take on low-alcohol sours. These beers are slightly tart, slightly sweet, and highlight many different fruits. This version features sour apple. So I've not had this one, but if it's anything like the white chocolate strawberry, it's pretty delightful.
White chocolate strawberry.
Oh, I think if you talk about the beer, you get to pour the beer.
Okay, so, fair enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Apparently I poured all over myself.
Just grab one. Just give me one.
Yeah, I got to save some for the wife, or
fired. Pour it first, or not. That'll work.
Yeah, I'll pour some out of mine for hers.
All right, you sure?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So, sour apple daiquiri from Services. Is that the name of the brewery? Services?
I believe so. It's...
Services.
Yeah. There's an S on the end.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
I was trying to look it up. But
so first off, it smells like an apple.
Mm-hmm. Like a Jolly Rancher?
No, we're not there yet. I haven't tasted it. There is a sour apple Jolly Rancher BT Dubs.
And I will know because bloop, I am a connoisseur of...
The term is aficionado. You got to fake it till you make it. That's pretty good. Like,
it's almost like a cider.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. I don't taste the beer. Like, where's the beer in there? Like, it honestly, it tastes like sour apple cider.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing wrong
dangerous.
With that.
Because, I mean, you
or
remember
great
when.
And dangerous.
You remember when those, like, Not Your Father's Root Beer came out
uh-huh.
like for the first time, and we were like.
Just hammering them back like they were.
Yeah, like
yeah.
Yeah. Six. Did you like that?
No.
I'm sure somebody likes it. But I mean, they were just so dangerous because you couldn't really taste the beer. I feel like this is the same thing. It's like
dangerous also because they have to just be like pure sugar.
Yes. Oh,
like,
100%. I mean, it's just 300 calories a bottle.
At least, yeah.
Probably
yeah.
not, but still. At, or maybe, I don't know.
I wouldn't. Grams of sugar? I can't even
imagine. 40?
Or more, yeah. I mean, it's...
That'd be really interesting to know. Do they actually have to publicize nutritional facts for beers?
I don't think so.
That's stupid. Not your father's root beer. Anyway.
I don't know. That's,
who knows? We'll figure that out later.
Pretty yummy.
It's good stuff.
It is, pretty much so. All right. So, the reason why you came. Comics. In this week... for Batman 77, right?
Yep.
Okay. So
there's not a bunch of Batman in this one. I mean, there is, but not really where you expect Batman to be.
Well, I think it's really funny, especially through Tom King's run from, you know, 1 to 85 is... how much he has included not Batman.
I know what you're saying. It was a weird way of saying it, but...
Well, I didn't really... I was trying to figure out how to phrase it.
How much you could have issues that are almost Batman-free in a run with Batman on the title.
Right. I mean, we literally had one issue in Nightmares where he showed up in the last panel.
I mean, this to me felt like the Damien show for a majority of the book.
You always claim that I have I read too much into them, or you look at it in a different way. But so you have the...
I don't know where that came from, the Damien show to...
Well, so like Thomas Wayne and Bruce are having a relationship. Or
easy.
On a sexual one.
Not that kind of show, bro.
No. But now we're seeing Damien, who is Bruce's grandson.
Yeah.
And
Thomas's grandson.
Right. So I think it's more
to which Damien would tell you no.
Yes.
No. Yeah. You're wrong again.
Yeah.
You're fake.
Like a he's like a petulant child.
But it worked in this issue for me quite a bit.
Oh yeah.
But I just find it funny that Bruce has spent time with his father and now we're seeing an issue majoritively devoted to the relationship between Damien and his
think that was a giant piece of it, dude. I think he spent less time talking with Thomas Wayne than he did talking with Gotham Girl, who, by the way, is not the same character that we saw at the beginning of Tom King's run. She has embraced her villainhood, and I kind of liked her voice in this one.
Yeah, and I know last time I said it was like maybe like a ploy to, you know, for Thomas and Gotham Girl to kind of make a wave in getting Gotham back under the control for Batman to roll in. I no longer think that's the case, obviously, because of what happened towards the end. Are we going to spoil that, or?
I was just going to go for it. It's already out there.
Okay,
I mean, I feel like We're not on the cutting edge of breaking that news story.
The part that, I mean, and we can get to that spoiler, but I mean, the part with Damien that I kind of keyed in on was what could happen to Damien after this issue. Like, whoever writes him after this, he's going to be dealing with some crap.
Yeah, it's a seminal moment for him.
You don't see what he saw and just move on from that.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it'd be really interesting if DC, call me, if they, because he's the current Robin, right?
Yeah.
Robin. So I don't know that there's a need for Robin anymore, like as an actual character, which I know that they've gone away, they've done away with Robin before several times. But it would be really nice if they took Damian and made him his own character, like they did Nightwing, like they did Red Hood, and maybe he takes a turn for the dark from what he saw and kind of has like a mental breakdown.
Well, I feel like he's already a dark character. I mean, when your mom is a queen of the assassins
whatever iteration it is, whether even if it's just in Teen Titans or whatever, I just think whoever's going to write that has an opportunity to do something with it. Like, he needs to lose some of the smugness after this, because he is definitely a very smug character, this needs to kind of bring him back.
Yeah, knock him down a couple pegs. Yeah. But I think there's a way where you could go to where, like, it like completely breaks him. Like, and just sends him into a spiral of badness, to where he has to have some sort of redemption, or to where he like levels out and kind of like a.
But don't you not like stories where they get broke and then they take off the uniform and then I don't want to see him put the horns back on?
Okay. We've already seen that before. Born Again.
Okay.
We haven't seen Damian Wayne get broken down and then rebuilt
them. I don't know. I feel like I've seen enough broken for a minute. I would just take a slightly gray character. You know, he's still part of the Bat family, but maybe he operates just right on the edge.
That's what I'm saying. Just break him off completely.
But I'm not saying you don't have to break him down to where he's a slobbering mess and, in therapy.
Okay, do this then. Maybe he goes on like a pilgrimage or something and has like a Lawrence of Arabia storyline, where it's a journey and it's a constant story for him to like find out where he came from or something. And then he comes back and then he's chilled out. And it's not so much of a broken down, but it's like a internal journey. I don't know.
So I have a question. During the fight with Gotham Girl, he has to get her in close. And their dialogue back and forth was really fun. When does he start using arcane arts? I mean, when does he get a magic wand?
Oh, I'm sure there's some kind of story but I mean,
just seemed a little out of left field. Like, maybe. I'm gonna reach into the bat pouch and pull out a magic wand.
Maybe mom.
Yeah, I mean,
helped him out.
Talia al Ghul's a crazy person, so you never know what she's getting herself into.
Right, so, I'm surprised neither one of you mentioned the good death line, because I know that's one of your favorites from the
Dark Knight.
From the Dark Knight, and that was it repeated in this one.
So what we're talking about is towards the end of this issue, Alfred gets murdered,
and this is canon. Yes. I mean, it's the main Batman title. This isn't Dark Knight Returns where, Alfred, has a stroke or a heart attack and the mansion blows up. I mean, this is the main run of Batman. And we all know that
it's not going to take, but it's going to take till at least 85.
I don't know how you bring him back, but
start over at number one.
That would be irritating, but
it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going to go with it.
If they do that, I want to see him as, kind of the badass ex, what's the British Secret Services, SAS, or I don't want him to be a mild-mannered butler. I want him to be kind of the, I helped train Bruce into a badass.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that new TV show out about his formative years. It's called, Pennyworth or something like that.
Yeah, or even, when I was reading the Deathstroke Batman and
Batman versus Deathstroke or whatever.
That was an interesting take on.
Yeah, because he was like an ex-operative for British intelligence. I don't remember what it's called though.
I feel like it's SAS.
I think that's the Russian one.
Or MI3.
MI5 is the intelligence agency, but there's like the
MI6.
that's the fake one that they made up for James Bond.
As far as you know.
True.
As far as you
know. You're right. The best counterintelligence agencies are ones we don't know about. But I hope that Alfred being dead is not the direct cause of Batman being able to defeat Bane, because that seems a little cliche to me. Oh, you killed my father figure.
Now, oh, I don't think it's that. I think it's
your death.
I think it's going to be more Bat and Cat team up.
Oh, for sure. I hope so.
I mean, I make no mistake, that will play into it. Like, dude, I mean, it's his best friend.
Sure.
You know, somebody smokes your best friend. Yeah,
I mean, it's his dad.
Pretty sure you're going to go on a revenge quest.
It's
dad
his
slash best friend.
Yeah. Many things. This is 8 Tom King issues left, which of Batman.
You know, there's people that really dislike him a lot, and I
do they give reasons? Are they good?
I was reading a little about. Was just reading a quick review, and dude was like, you know, every time I heard Gotham Girl open her mouth, it was Tom King. I heard, you know, it's Tom King's voice, not Gotham Girl's voice. And I'm like, well, since he's the creator, yeah, it sort of always is going to be his voice. But I didn't feel that way.
I mean, he's.
I think they bitch about the. There were several issues, and I think we all agreed Nightmares probably went on a little too long.
Right, but that was
less action. But
that was a, like a crossover thing.
Yeah,
I don't think he was the sole writer on those. So I think he wrote the Batman parts, but like he had to make them work with the Nightwing parts. We're talking the Monsters of Men, right?
No. No, Nightmares.
Oh, fuck. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about, bro?
Sorry. My only problem with
Somebody else had to write the Roadrunner. Somebody else wrote Beep Beep.
Oh, no. I think he enjoyed that part.
I think the Nightmares just went on too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved the idea of it. I think it could have been squished down a little bit and would have been looked more favorably upon.
Sure. But, I mean, if we're going back to, like, parts about the Batman run that I didn't like, Monsters of Men I thought was just horrendous. Yeah. But
and I wonder where I wonder if a lot of it started after issue 50 and they're just still bitter about the wedding. Like,
yeah,
because I don't really remember hearing too much before that people were hating on it,
and then they felt tricked and then were just going to be pissy about it.
I don't know if you honestly thought that they were going to get married. I have ice to sell you.
Yeah, I had hoped. I've been like, it would be cool to see this happen, but I didn't feel like it was going to. It came as no great shock.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
When Logan and I sat down to read it, and I was like, "Yep, didn't happen."
Yeah. Honestly, you know, I assume that they're going to get together. And it may not be, and it may not even be at 85. It may be at the end of his Batman and Catwoman run.
Right.
But I think at some point, I think maybe the reason why they are cutting it separately is because they don't want Batman being married to be canon.
And so
that's why they separated him out, because
then you can still do what you want with it.
Because if he gets married and has like a.
But so what? They get married. You can get divorced, too, in a comic book. I mean, the same way you can bring people back to life.
I don't know.
I know you're just trying to figure out a reason for it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Daredevil number 10 is what we've got up next. It is the No Devils, Only God part 5.
Is this the finale? Maybe one more?
I'm not completely sure. Maybe.
So I think the covers on this have just been pretty fantastic. I really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we talk enough about how good they are.
Yeah, some of the covers are just insane.
And the content on the inside is pretty darn good too.
Oh yeah,
I, this was...
So I thought at one point you had said Chichetto was coming back.
And I think he still is. I think he is. I think it's 11 or 12.
Okay. I think I saw a tweet that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought it was this issue, and I was like, Chichetto.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Samesies.
Yeah. Not to say this is...
It's just different.
Atrocious art.
It's like, just different.
It's just... Thank you. Yeah, it's just different.
I was so into the story, though. Like, I hardly... I mean, yes, I noticed the difference in it, but man, there are some intense scenes in this issue. The police station scene where you just know that tension is building between all the officers and Detective North and Matt's hearing it. And it was really good. I liked it right at the beginning. He says, "We sin. I confess. We sin. I confess." Talking about him and the Libra library lady. And
you mean his new sex toy?
Pretty much the
one that either looks hot or like a frumpy housewife, you know,
from
depending
issue
on
to issue. Yes. And this one was really from page to page because there were a couple in here where I'm like, okay, oh, she looks good again. And then the next panel was like, wait
a minute. We're wailing. What I love about this is I feel like Daredevil can see black and white, but he's operating in a very gray area right now. I mean, for somebody who is so about upholding the law and pretty much tries to be a religious, you know, has ties with God. I mean, he knows he's committing adultery. You know, to your point, you know, we sin. You know, I
confess.
I confess. Yeah. We sin again. everything about it, it's just living in that gray area. Like he's doesn't want to put the horns back on, but he's willing to just sit there on his balcony listening to the city and dialing 911 as fast as he can and dispatching people around. He still wants to help, but feels afraid to put the horns back on.
Well, I mean, I think that is one of the good things that Zdarsky does is he shows that inner struggle between, you know, basically his heart, which is like, I can go help these people. And his mind is like,
but I'm going to cause problems.
The law. I could kill somebody again. And then all these thoughts creep in. Yeah. And it's like,
again, that gray area. He sees the black and white and is operating in the gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even though he is kind of in this odd place right now, I thought one of the lines towards the end, after he's kind of covered for Detective North, you know, saying, you can pin this on me.
Yeah, because
the cameras are off here in the building, but they're not off as I leave. They're going to capture me running out with this gun. And his line to him was, when you're unbendable, when you pretend to be unbreakable, other people get broken. So even though he's in this weird place, like, he's still able to dole out the the advice and stuff and try to get North on the right path. So,
well, and one of the things that I think is very interesting about their relationship is just how it's changed so rapidly because, like, I mean, what was it? 4 or 5, they were duking it out in the street, and now it's like they kind of have this mutual understanding of, I understand your purpose.
But it's almost like any action movie is that way, where we can't be friends at first. We must fight it out.
I mean, a little bit of that, but I think it's deeper than that, because it's like, if you think of Detective North as like always doing the right thing, He does the wrong thing here. Or it could be perceived to be the wrong thing if someone tells the right story. And Daredevil's like, I see a path of redemption. I can help this. I can help save a life where, you know, a few books ago, I unforcibly took a life.
Yeah.
And so... I mean, it's an internal redemption arc to me, but he's also trying to save Detective North
as well.
you know, because if he gets caught up in this, where does he go? Does he turn bad and become a criminal? Does he go to jail and, you know, whatever? Or, you know, so I, that's what I kind of like about, he's like a sacrificial lamb, if you will. He's like, I'll take the fall for you so that you can keep doing what you're doing, because you're doing it the way I wish I could, which is the right, which is like the legal way, you know, because I'm not a cop. You're a cop. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. But we have one more thing to talk about this book.
Are you talking about the ending?
I'm talking about,
you're excited about the next one, or?
Well, I have concerns. I have some concerns because you've introduced the librarian chick as his love interest, sex toy.
I don't know why you keep saying sex toy, dude. I mean, just his love interest is.
Well, I mean, they don't have a relationship other than, you know.
Can that still not be a love interest?
I guess.
I mean, I don't know where you go straight to anal beads.
I mean, you went right there.
Yeah, 100% to make a point.
Well, and I don't know. It might even be coming to a resolution. Like, I thought for sure she was going to get smoked here at some point. But she's, I think almost she's going back to the hubby. Back to the husband there as the bookstore burns. And
He burns himself to save the books.
To save some of the books. Yeah, we may just get...
Just a clean resolution.
Just... So, off into the sunset.
I share your concern.
Off into the sunset.
Okay. Sunset Riders?
Read off into the sunset.
Wow. So, to me, Netflix Daredevil season 2. First half, fantastic. Second half, garbage.
I really don't remember it.
Oh, the first half dealt with Punisher.
Yeah.
Second half was Elektra.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not good. So I'm hoping that bringing Elektra in doesn't jinx this as well.
It depends on whose side she's on.
Just depends on how it's written.
Well, and I mean, it's Chip Zdarsky. So
hopefully, I mean, we have 10 issues as a track mm-hmm. record now of it's good.
There's a check in the positive column.
Yeah.
And on the cover of issue 11, too, there's a little bit of Spider-Man as well.
That,
she could actually be
bad.
More coming, well, no, or reinforcing what Spider-Man has already told him in
knock
the
it
series.
Off.
So maybe we're getting like Ghosts of Christmas Past, President Future kind of thing.
Where we're just having a superhero intervention.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I don't know.
Could be.
It's fine.
Just had a booger on it or something. A
booger on it?
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Powers of 10-3, correct?
Yeah. So I just wish... The X confuses me. Powers
we
of...
We can say whatever. I mean, we should probably just say Powers of X, but...
But I think it is 10. I don't know. I'm just like, somebody please...
I think he just wants to play on the... It's, you know, 0 year, year 10, year year 100 and stuff. And I don't think... It doesn't really probably matter which way we call it. So there were lots of little things in this issue, just like there have been in all of the issues that really interested me. It's something that if you're not really paying attention to it, you wouldn't really catch it. But so I'd always kind of question here as now we're in, you know, we're in the year 100 and you've got Wolverine still there, which I can accept that because of his healing factor and everything. And you've got the Groot looking Krakoa/Cypher person. But then you always had you had that Magneto in the picture that was but a kind of a greenish tint every time to the suit. And if you read the infographic there, that's not really Magneto. It's a new mutant with the powers coming from Lorna Dane, which is Polaris, which is Magneto's daughter, and then Emma Frost. So it's you don't really ever see the face.
Wait, hang on. You breezed right past.
Timeout. Those are two chicks.
Well, yes, but I mean, Rasputin is a combination of five. I mean, it's one of those mutants that bred as
You're like,
all right. No. it's too early to hashtag. What are you doing? We're not breaking free.
I think it's double X chromosome is what he was doing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was very cerebral. Thanks.
Cerebro?
Yeah.
So that was something that I thought was kind of cool. And then on that same infographic, the Percival mutant that's been mentioned a couple of times that was killed before we even get to, you know, they were on that mission to get the data in the first Powers of X.
Yeah, right.
And it says Percival's been killed. He's listed as a ghost mutant, which I don't even know what. I mean, there's so many little things, though, that like that, that it's like, okay, I need a backstory on this Percival guy. Like, tell me more. What is a ghost mutant power?
So this is funny. This might actually be the one time Marvel didn't go great guns and split off 4,000 different offshoots off this main story that we might have cared to read about.
Yeah,
because I'm with you. I am just digging the heck out of this.
Yeah,
I haven't read an X-Men book that I liked in so long that it's just amazing. I love what they're doing. It just makes it all okay.
I think the last X-Men book that I read that I you know, really enjoyed was the Phoenix Resurrection.
Yeah.
And
that is a good one. I need to get you guys at some point. But this
blows it out of the water.
At some point, you guys need to read House of M. I do think you'd really that. It was a really good series.
No ties to this, right?
No, other than just the title.
And who's it? Who wrote it?
Do we know? That was a Bendis one.
Oh, okay.
So
could be good then.
I assume the
M is for Magneto, yes. Or is it mutant?
It's Magneto. Okay. It's a world where Magneto.
It's Magneto instead of Charles, basically.
In a way, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah, I don't want to.
Could be good
because you give too much away of it. It wouldn't be quite as fun to read. So
have you read anything else by Hickman?
We read one because I think I dared it to you guys. The Illuminati Marvel series, where it was all the smartest guy. You know, it was Professor X and it was Mr. Fantastic and Namor. And they all form a group and they
sounds vaguely familiar, but
here's this horrible thing. Okay, well, we'll go and, you know, it's Tony Stark. It's I've got it. If you guys want to look at it again.
I was at Vintage Stock Friday, I think, and I was thumbing through all their books, and he did a run on Fantastic Four that I was pretty tempted to pick up a couple and just see if it was any good, but I figured I'd check with the Marvel guru first.
I haven't read a whole lot of his. There was something else that I've read of his, and I can't think of what it is right now, but if you haven't read The Illuminati, I thought I dared him to you, but maybe I didn't. But I do think you'd like it. But it didn't come to you. Okay. Yeah.
Which is, it's all good. So I really liked, and I think it was maybe the very last line. And is it, and thus ends the ninth life of.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm like.
When you burning flip through that him pretty page quick. And you yeah. it was just, and you see him yeah. sticking her through, it was like, yeah. Oh, that was like, as soon as I read that one, I so wanted to like text you guys or say, you know, and save it for the pod. But
yeah.
Like that was, it was, I needed to talk to somebody about
it's,
that
it,
one.
It's hard when it's that good to save it for the pod It, you just have to, oh my God, I have to share this.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great compliment.
Yes.
Moira there on that last page too, like it's the title of this comic. It's the, this is what you do.
Yeah.
And she tell it, you know, he tries to say, I'm sorry. And she says, you know, it's all right. This is what you do. And then you just, that panel of him and her, it was that's good stuff.
Yeah. And the art is
it's top notch.
Really good.
I think I've written down a couple of times in places, when did Marvel's writing and art get this good? Because it's
in this book.
I don't know. I mean, I felt like Old Man Hawkeye, the writing and the art was that good.
It seems like it's far and few between.
I think it's getting more.
I think it's definitely on the upswing.
Because then you have Absolute Carnage also, which the writing is great. And man, Ryan Stegman's art is pretty fantastic in there. So
definitely.
All right. So, Eric, I'll give your job back.
Oh, sorry, sure. Bro. Okay. next beer up is from Sweetwater. It's their Going Coastal IPA with pineapple.
I don't know.
I didn't know either.
This is kind of the replacement for the one that we loved, right? The tropical.
Oh, it's not a replacement, sir.
But it's their summer. Yeah, this is the
fucking
summer.
Hope not.
This is the summer seasonal. I did tell you that.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Tropical Lover is gone forever.
Forever. Yeah,
Sweetwater. Right. Why? Why? The year that you come over here to our area and start distributing is the year that you stop making the best beer you make.
So here's the good news. It's a good palate cleanser before the next daiquiri.
Right, but like it says,
because I mean it will clearly clean out your.
Okay, so it's an IPA with pineapple.
Yeah.
To me, it's just an IPA.
No, I get the pineapple notes.
It's not enough. Like if you're gonna put pineapple in a beer, I need to taste the pineapple.
Well, but then it's not gonna be an IPA.
Well, then don't put pineapple in an IPA.
Maybe they.
I know you didn't make the
Going Coastal people, and
well, maybe they should have just called it a pale ale, because like
that's
like
more
Boulevard's tropical pale ale is pretty similar to this, and they didn't need to call it a tropical IPA.
Or Breckenridge, the Mango Mosaic. It reminds me of that, just not as good. Yeah, it's not great. It's not bad though. Not getting high marks.
Well, my thing is like if this is replacing Tropical Lover.
I mean, maybe for you it is.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
All right. Once in Future.
Garbage book.
Okay. Everybody has their opinion. So.
That's a joke.
Yeah, 100%.
By?
Caron Gillen.
So I didn't realize it's the same person did Die?
Wicked and Divine.
And Die.
Yeah.
But Wicked and Divine.
So I literally had to go out and hunt this book down.
Yeah, you went on a scavenger hunt.
Twice. Because I went and bought one, and then I was like, this is so good, Eric must read this, because,
Yeah. By the way, it's good.
It's the real deal, and not just because I paid a 10 spot for it. the art is great. The dialogue is just so well done. The premise is grandma's in a nursing home and she's a little cantankerous.
And she gets a shotgun.
Yeah. The grandson's kind of a tool.
But a good hearted.
Yeah, but he's just kind of a bother. What's going on? Reluctant hero, let's put it that way. Sounds better than tool. So I mean it opens with this archaeological dig. And there's a drought going on in England, and this lake dries up, and shockingly, they're excavating it, and they find this scabbard and some pottery and stuff. What could it be? Especially with a title like Once in Future.
And a giant sword on the front of the cover.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the dialogue between grandma and grandson is just absolutely fantastic. It's kind of gritty and violent, and it's kind of fun to see a strong old female character. I mean, that sounds so wrong, but
I don't know that strong is the right word. Stubborn, unable to die.
Strong, dude. She busts open a weapons cache.
Yeah, I mean, she's
grandma. You wouldn't shoot me.
Boom. Yeah. Sorry, the nerves aren't as steady as they used to be. Just fantastic book. What'd you guys think?
I liked it a lot. Some of the exact same things that you said. Number one, I mean, the art really stood out.
That's what I to me. Picked up
on. I mean, the colors and stuff, especially when the questing beast.
Yeah.
I mean, those pages.
Which I didn't expect that because, like, for the first, two-thirds of the book, you're kind of, like, just in England. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, bleh!
Yeah. Yeah, not so much a fantasy book up into that point. But yeah, after that, and even that was good. Like you know, there's a backstory with that questing beast too, because she's like, it's kind of a sad story of poor little poor little thing, and then don't keep chasing it, because if you keep chasing it, you'll get obsessed, and that's the only thing you'll do. So it's like, they've got to come back to that thing at some point. You've got to learn more about what's up with the questing beast.
But this book could go forever. Thank you. Like, slow play the shit out of this, please. Like, this does not need to be a six and done.
No, it definitely could be longer than that. And
so I certainly enjoy the characters, their interaction. And I'm just a sucker for a good new Arthurian story. I mean,
take on the
because I like we really like the same was it just King Arthur? It was the Fuqua, Antoine Fuqua, the Clive Owen, and was it Karen Knightley as well?
Karen Knightley,
I love that
Madge
version.
Milkinson, a couple other people, Antoine Fuqua, which is really surprising, because you're like, that's the dude that did Training Day. Yeah. But, I mean, I think we all paid $10 for it.
And part of that is, I think it was a limited run by design.
Limited.
Yeah, because it's in a fifth printing. And I would tell you, it's a great book. It's not fifth printing this early great, in my humble opinion.
It's probably third printing. So it's Boom, which I think they only do 10,000 runs. And so, because, I mean, you got to think, like, how many copies of Batman do you think DC prints for the first printing? 100,000? 200,000?
I'd say ballpark. There. And so between 100 and 200,000.
You're thinking about Boom doing 10,000.
Yeah.
And so.
It could be, man.
It's crazy to me. Like the quality of books that are out right now, I mean, they could sell a lot more. It sucks that we're not in the 90s heyday of comics.
But that's
because
good
the '90s
too.
Heyday of comics, when you look back on it, was not that great,
dude.
But yet you have, you have these fantastic, like, because I tweeted out this week when these books came out. I mean, Powers of X, Batman 77, and Daredevil number 10. I bet you can go and find and throw in Once in Future in it too.
Yeah, so four
those
titles.
All came out in 1 week. I bet there are years that four books of that quality didn't come out in the entire year, and we got all those books
in one week.
It's pretty crazy,
and I like that they're not going crazy with it, because you mentioned the 90s heyday, because I've probably got 5 to 10 Spawn number ones.
Yeah,
they're really not worth that much.
No,
and they're on what, like, 300, because they poofed out so many of them.
300 I think was last week.
So
Yeah.
And that's been, you know, 20 some odd years ago.
I think it was like 95 or something like that.
No, it was 90 ish.
I think I have a spawn number 4, and I think it's like 92 or 3.
Yeah, I've got like 1 through 12.
I mean, really
multiple copies.
But,
yeah. And same thing with the McFarlane Spider-Mans. I mean, yeah. I thought those were going to be my, you know,
well, I mean, like
ticket to riches.
That Jim Lee X-Men that sold like 2.1 million copies.
Eight million copies.
So, I mean, you can find those on eBay for like $20.
Oh, yeah.
But if they only sold, if there was only like 100,000 of them, they'd be.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying is.
100.
Like this book here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I paid a 10 spot for it.
Yeah.
I could probably pick a spawn number one up for 10 to 12 bucks.
You could probably just pick a spawn number one up for cover.
I think it's a little more than that,
it doesn't really matter, but.
So limiting the run is okay. I just feel like, I don't know.
You can't overplay the.
Yeah,
this is in its fifth printing. When
correct. It,
when you've only printed
50,000
copies.
Maybe. Yeah.
But I mean, it makes the people who like if this turns into like if this becomes an Eisner Award winner or a Nebula or whatever the heck the freaking things are, that number one's $100, and then just suddenly you're like, oh, I'm really glad there's only 10,000 of these.
But exactly. Other than it just being.
Arbitrarily hard to find.
Thank you. Because at this point, I mean yes,
if this was an image book.
Yes, I like finding books as an investment as well.
Yeah.
But man, I just want to read the book.
Right. Right. But I mean, if this book was an image, there would have been 100,000 of them printed, you know, and they would have been everywhere.
All right. I'm going to segue.
Go ahead.
Did we do it? So, I missed this one. We were in line at Clint's.
Oh, yes.
And you're like, I think I was in a rush to get to work because I buy my comics on the way to work. And like, dude, don't you want to pick this up? It's Zdarsky. I'm like, nah, man, I'll let you read it and see if it's any good. And so, I'll be brief with it. Because, there is some demon dork flopping around. But this is a great damn story.
Demon dork flopping around.
Am I lying to me, sir?
Oh, no.
Dude, when I bought it at Elite, because I found that at Elite, too. He's like, yeah, there's a lot of demon penis in this one.
Is that what he said?
100%.
Oh, my God, dude. I wish you could have recorded that. Yeah, there's a lot of demon dick.
And then he started talking about the bat dick.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, God.
Could you imagine somebody walking into a comic book store and hearing... Yeah, that comic's got a lot of demon dick in it. I just turn around and walk out. You're like, I'm fuck that.
The crazy thing to me is I don't want this to just be two issues. That's insanity.
It's really odd. Like, who decides to...
It's such a rich world and characters. I mean, I want to know everything about what's going on. And I have two issues, and I don't feel like that's even going to scratch the surface on this.
Well, you had mentioned something, like it's something Chronicles or something like that?
Yes. What's this?
A Black Sand Tale.
So maybe he's deciding.
This is just like a testing the waters thing, and then like he's going to write a full-fledged. I don't know.
Because I mean, there were pretty detailed maps in there.
Yeah, I felt like there's a lot of work going on for it just to be two issues.
Yeah.
Well, and that's how I felt about Isola, because like in the like the opening covers of Isola, like the very first issue, they talk about how like it's this giant land, and then they have to get to this place called Isola, and the story doesn't really. I haven't kept up on it, but the story doesn't really follow that. But it's like. If you're going to take the time to build a continent world.
Well, dude, I mean, let me compare it to.
Yeah.
To this is an awful, awful cover, but it was all
I
could find.
Yeah.
But Fair Lady, I mean, at the back of that, there's a map of a giant, like, robot skin where, you know, they're.
Skeleton kind of thing.
Yeah, they're living inside that. If you take the time to create that universe, man. Yeah.
Fill it.
Fill it. I'm ready.
Exactly.
Put some more issues out.
Yeah. We're ready for our next beer, our second from Service or Services, from Shawnee. This is the Strawberry Daiquiri Sour Ale.
Yeah. And the first one was so good.
Wow, look at how... From the bottom of the can.
So that's the funny thing, dude.
Wow, what the hell?
I got the last of the keg on, because I did a flight and then I did a full pour. And I mean, it was just chunks of strawberry frothy. It was like, you ever go to like a, you know, you get like the sorbet.
There's almost like pulp in here.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes.
Like strawberry zest.
Yes. That's what it was. I mean,
holy shit.
Now imagine that with some white chocolate.
Wow.
I want to taste the difference.
Okay. Yeah, that looks like the bottom of the keg.
Wow, it's so different.
Yeah, this is way
more so different.
Fruity. Yeah.
That's almost like a framboise.
Yeah.
And that's crazy that it came out of the same can.
Yeah.
Might need to roll the cans like a Chileta. Yeah, yeah.
Or does this say, like, shake lightly?
But that is crazy. I mean, look at the
window and forget anybody ever made it. That's what you do with the Chileta.
Sorry, what did you say? I didn't hear that. I was reading. I heard Chileta, and I heard you making fun of it. I was like, I have to.
Throw the Chileta out the window. That's what you do with the Chileta.
Haters gotta hate. But, I mean, look at the difference between
the color.
Side by side. That's crazy.
Insanity. That came out of the same freaking bottle.
Yeah.
Wow. And they taste different.
Dude. Remind me to get the last pour on that. But I think this has got a little tartness to it where that's probably really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much. It's just very strawberry forward.
Man, that's good. It's almost a dang cider.
Which is what we said about the last one.
Yeah. Because I'd never heard daiquiri.
But I mean, it tastes like a... I mean, if you told me that was a Lindeman's...
Yeah.
If you told me that was a strawberry Lindeman's, I would...
It reminds me of like where you take the sherbet and put it in like ginger ale or 7-Up as a punch.
Like a float kind of thing. Yeah. That's delicious.
Man.
That's actually almost what it is like. It's like that stupid fruit... Cold fruit punch or whatever they make. That's really what it tastes like.
It kind of does the same thing to the sides of the glass that one of those does.
Just can't believe that came out of the same can. That's so crazy. I mean, because that's a stark color difference.
It really is. That's crazy. All right, so
let's pop those down. So just to finish up, White Trees.
Yes. Okay.
So, demon dick aside, you like
it? And you do have to brush it aside.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to get that away.
Because it's a lot.
Yeah. I feel like it's been described as more than was there. There was like a few panels.
I thought it was like 2.5 pages.
I don't feel like it was.
It's fine.
So much of the book that I feel like it's the same thing with Batman the Damned. That was all anyone talked about was the bat dork.
Right, for sure.
The bat-a-wang.
Yeah.
Wow.
You got any more?
Come on.
You got any more?
It's pretty good.
More? Bat-a-wang? Yeah. You got any more?
No, I'm going to chamber the rest.
All right. Sounds good.
But yeah, I loved the book.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. Super cool. So the previously aforementioned Fair Lady number...
Final one? Is that right?
I
know I saw a tweet from the author that it was canceled.
It was canceled? That's disappointing because I feel like it's just now kind of catching its stride.
Oh, I don't know, man. I'm super lukewarm on this. I really liked it. I really liked it at the start.
Who's the author?
It's Schrimmer, S-C-H-I-R-M-E-R. Yep. There you go. So,
I was lukewarm on it. I liked it better when it was like
a complete Fair Lady mystery.
I mean, I know I'd like to stupid, no, but
I dug that. But after a couple issues of that, I was like, okay, let's show me more of this world. You don't have to tie everything up with a bow at the end of every book. But then it kind of the one where we hunted for the end of the book and then just kind of got a F you at the end.
Yeah.
I was super lukewarm after that. This about got me back on board.
Like it's just meh to me. Like,
yeah. I mean, I won't fight you on it because it's. I don't know. It's that much more than that for me. It feels like you get the setup. I like a good detective story. You get the setup, then you. But it never feels like you're involved in solving the crime. It just. You're presented at the end with here's what happened.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the Indiana Jones thing. Like, if you watch Indiana Jones, The Raiders of the Lost Ark, and you take Indiana Jones out, everything still happens. The Nazis still find the chest, and they still open it, and they still burn their faces off.
Okay.
Indiana Jones has no relevance to the actual completion of the story. I feel like that's the same way. Like, they already know the ending of the story, but, like, there's no... Like, the characters aren't relevant to the ending of the story. Just kind of happens. Just, oh, here it is. Yay.
This was it. It was canceled at number 5.
Okay. Well, mission accomplished.
Well, I guess.
I was looking for his actual...
Probably dropping is confirmed because they're not making it anymore.
Yeah. Today's the day. Fair Lady comes to an end with issue number 5.
I really liked the premise.
But I wish I could actually find his actual tweet about it that day because he said something about, you know, he found out he's winning an award for it on the same day that
they're canceling
that
it
told him it was canceled.
Images telling him that it's canceled?
Yes.
That seems kind of dumb. You're up for an award, and we're canceling your book. But then again, I mean, it's like a art house movie. You know, you're up for an award, but no one liked it.
Yeah.
It just...
You won the Cannes Festival Selection Award, but we're not going to show it in any theaters. And it's like, all right, well, I don't really understand that.
Well, moving on. Middle West.
Yeah, Middle West number 10.
I mean, I feel like I talk about this every single time about this book, but it just doesn't work without the art. And I think it's interesting to me because Scotty Young doesn't do the art on this. It's somebody completely different.
It is Jorge Corona.
But I don't think that book works without that art.
I would agree.
So we move ahead in the story a little bit. Abel finds Grandpa, and at first Grandpa's a likable sort of dude. Seems cool at first, but then you find out he's also a force of nature, just like Abel, just like his dad.
He's also kind of a dick.
I missed the fox in this issue quite a bit because I like the fox, but I understand why it wouldn't work with him there.
So you always are like, yeah, it's, you know, we're just moving along. Man, we're just moving along. We're just moving along. So what, in your opinion, is this book missing? Because I feel like it's the same thing. It's like, yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, we're just
I don't know
along.
That it's... Here's the thing. Some books I need to know more about.
Can you give me an example?
Not right off the top of my head.
Okay.
Fair enough. But I mean, there's some books that I'm like, we're not moving the story forward. Like... Gideon Falls for a minute.
Yeah.
Was that way where you're just like, all right, it's really strange, guys. We're going to talk about it again. There's a dude. He's picking up pieces
nails.
Of burn and a nail, and he's wearing a mask, and I can't tell you what it's about. That I may need to know some more about the story.
Right.
This, I'm just kind of happy being in this world with Abel and on his journey, and let's see where it goes. Now, it feels like he really hasn't gone that far between running away from home and, you know, we hit the carnival and then we're on the road.
In terms of, like, growth as a person? Because, I mean, he's obviously traveled a distance.
But
I don't know how far of a distance he's traveled, but I don't care, man. I'm just down with the story, and just it's a fun, interesting universe to be a part of,
for sure.
Yeah, but I feel like you were making a point, so I don't mean to upon it.
No, it wasn't a point. I was just trying to see if you had any suggestions on, like, where do you think the story is going to go? What do you think is going to happen? I mean, because, like, currently right now, I don't know who the villain is. Like, is it Dad? Is it going to be Grandpa? Is it going to be Dad and Grandpa together? And some shit's going to have to go down? I believe this is one that Eric brought.
Oh, it looks delightful. So can I offer a theory?
Yes.
It. So I know Scotty Young and Jason Aaron are friends. Mm-hmm. And I know the kind of books Jason Aaron writes because Eric dared me one that I'll talk about here in a little bit that's very much almost this story. And you didn't read it yet. You just picked it up.
I just handed it off, yeah.
But it's a grandpa and a dad and a kid, and they're all kind of bad seeds. So it makes me wonder if they're not just all kind of assholes.
Well, I don't think the kid's an asshole.
But he can be.
He can be, but so
because
can
because grandpa's an asshole so much so that he's sequestered himself off into the wilderness.
Yeah.
Dad's such an asshole he's drove mom off and his kid. And the kid's just not wanting to be an asshole. Whether you're a force of nature or not and able to turn into a tornado or a blizzard, I don't know. I'm kind of along for the ride on this one. I don't have anything invested because if you remember, like Middle West One, I was like, I don't know about this. I don't know if I like this. And I've been pretty much on board since from two on.
Right. So, I shouldn't know if you had any theories. I think what I would like to see happen is, you know, the kid has a realization that you don't have to be alone. Like, because he see, like, think about his family. So he grew up with his father. His mother was driven away. His father's a drunk and kind of an asshole. And
do we know he's a drunk?
I thought he was drinking in the very first episode or issue. And that's,
it's been so long, I don't know. I'm just asking for clarification as to.
Still kind of a deadbeat, whatever. Lives in a trailer park, I think.
Yeah.
Regardless. When he gets pissed, he turns into a tornado and.
Yeah, flattens. Shit up. Yeah.
And so the kid understands that there's a darkness inside of him. Like, there's a darkness inside of all of us.
Correct.
And he's trying to do everything he can not.
He's on a journey to get to become that. To take that away from him.
Not necessarily take it away from him.
Yeah, because that's what he's. I mean, that's why he went to the wizard and the wizard's sister and take it out of me, take it away.
Right.
Which I don't know that you can ever take the darkness completely away from yourself.
Right.
But you can find ways to mitigate it.
And I think the realization that he's going to come to is that. He has to learn to control his emotions so that he doesn't get out of control. And so, like, he has to learn to control the darkness inside of him instead of succumbing to it.
Yeah.
And so that's the journey I think we're on.
I don't think you're wrong. To me, I just sometimes don't look so deeply in. I'm just like, it's a fun story, right. And I just read it for the enjoyment of it because it almost looks like a kid's book.
Well, I think
it's not.
I think it almost reads like a kid's book.
It's not because it's pretty.
There's no language in there.
No, but it feels like the subject matter is.
It can't be any darker than Harry Potter. I mean, there's straight up murder in Harry Potter, and it's a kid's book, so. Young adult.
Teen. Yeah.
Young adult.
Yeah. Rated T for teen.
Not this podcast.
Yeah, I did M for mature.
Yeah. NC-17.
So we done with Middle West?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right, we can stay. If,
No. I'm just said my piece.
No, I think it's interesting because I think you do read comics with more of a I want to figure it out. I want to have the theory. Where a lot of times I just read them to just for the glee of reading them, for the just the overall enjoyment of I want to immerse myself in this story.
Yeah. Well, when I was in high school and part of college, I did a lot of like creative writing and like analysis of writing and poetry and stuff like that. And so I don't know. I always just put my frame inside of the writer in like, what are you trying to tell me? Because like every story has a point. Like if you look in the Bible, all the parables, they all have a point. It's a lesson to be learned. You know, if you look at Star Wars, it's a redemption story. If you look at just about any other, you know, you can find the story.
Yeah.
You know, and so to me, Middle West's story about a kid who understands that he has a darkness inside of him and he goes on a journey to try and
rid himself of it, which you can't.
And learns that the hard way that you have two choices. You can succumb to it and become grandpa and father, or you can, you know, become Bro Hulk and, you know, live.
Who?
Bro Hulk.
Is that Amadeus Cho?
No, that's... Okay. So,
I'm sorry, dude. I just had to derail you. My bad.
Bruce Banner in Avengers Endgame, where he's half Hulk, half Bruce Banner.
Oh, gotcha.
That's the Bro Hulk.
Okay. Where he's wearing a cardigan and
that's Bro Hulk. Fair enough. So, you know, like Hulk, he's learned that the darkness inside of him can't get rid of it, so he has to learn to live with it.
Okay.
And yeah. So I think that's what the end result's gonna be, is he has to realize that the people around him, the little girl, the wizard, the fox, they all can help him stay in check. Where if he runs away, all that's gonna happen is
he blows up again.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's insightful, dude.
Yeah. Our next beer.
Next beer is from Crooked Stave out of Denver.
We've had Crooked Stave.
I think so too. This is their Petite Sour Peach. It's a wild ale aged in oak with Colorado peaches.
So wild ale usually means saison.
I thought it was wild hops.
It's the wild yeast. They allow it to.
Oh, it's not grown like enough. It's not grown in like a structured field or something.
The yeast does a wild fermentation. I don't completely understand it because I'm not a brewer. But I'm interested. There you go.
Let's just look it up.
What is it
smells
called?
Good. Wild yeast or wild fermentation?
Mm-hmm.
Which one? What does it
say? It says wild ale aged in oak.
Wild ale.
Oh, hello.
Is that sour?
Oh, hello. It is delightful, though.
Oh. American wild ale generally refers to beers brewed in America using yeast or bacteria in addition to Saccharomyces cerevisiae.
I'm glad we pronounced that correctly.
Yeah. Other beers that are traditionally made in this way are lambics. So it's like a peach lambic.
We'll look up like a...
And you definitely can...
Saison.
As it sits in your mouth a little. You can definitely feel the lambic part
how
of it.
How are you spelling that?
S-A-I-S-O-N, I believe.
It's a pale ale, highly carbonated, fruity or spicy. It is historically brewed with low alcohol content, but moderate productions of style and have moderate levels of alcohol. A beer styled as a pale ale brewed in the cooler, less active months in farmhouses in a French-speaking region of Belgium and then stored. Yeah. Basically, it's just like a farmhouse brew. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say specifically anything about the yeast apparently,
wild yeast is what the name implies. In other words, it is a naturally existing yeast in the air, on vegetation, or blowing around in the air. Wild yeast clings to surfaces in the vineyard, winery, or on equipment. That's more talking about wine.
I assume it's the same process because framboises are basically fruit beers that are made like wine. And that said lambic, and lambic is all they make is framboise, isn't it? Yes? Okay.
Yeah,
I think so too. I don't know either.
So try to read. All right. We've derailed ourselves. Okay, so
Blade Runner. Yes.
2019.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that this book does very, very well is it knows exactly what it is and it stays within that parameters. Like, it knows it's a Blade Runner story. It yeah. knows the world it has to exist in, and it does that. I
don't have a whole bunch to say about this book, and that seems wrong. Because I should...
Well, it seems negative.
It seems negative, any, but yeah. it's not. This is another one that... I mean, it's fantastic art. It's a great mm-hmm. story. I enjoy being in this Blade Runner universe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't have much more to say about that. It's just a super fun read. Suggest yeah. it highly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a detective story, kind of. You yeah. know, there's something going on, but... You know, one of the things that this issue specifically, this issue number two, has done is, you know, the story's evolved a little bit and the characters are getting developed and, you know, we're starting to learn more information. And, you know, that's zero spoiler review because, yeah. you know, you should read this book, you know. But if you like Blade Runner, this is Michael Green's the same guy that wrote the screenwriter or screenplay for 2049,
which was fantastic.
And, you know,
if you like the movies, you'll yeah, love the book.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much all you have to say.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Ding.
Yeah. Done and done.
Yeah, I'm just going to do it.
It's fine. Go ahead. Yeah.
No. We can debate this one a little bit. All right. So the frustrating thing to me is I didn't particularly love the art in Dark Ark.
Okay.
Same artist.
Yeah.
Same artist.
But also author.
However, the art in this one, I would say a little better than... And Strayed wasn't bad. It just wasn't for me. It's about an astral projecting cat who looks for different planets to colonize. I should have just stopped with no. Okay. Dude, come on, dude. It's a cat. I love cats. Mm-hmm. Cats are awesome. It's kind of a cool looking cat.
Mm-hmm. You know what that cat looks like? A fucking alien cat.
Yes.
You want to know why?
An astral projecting cat.
It's a fucking alien cat.
Yes. Which should have been good. And it's probably good for somebody. Just not me. Bad reception.
Wow.
I was like, awesome, Dark Ark again. So it's interesting because this book starts with...
like a very long soliloquy.
And when he says very long...
I do mean like half the book. One, two, three, four, five, six, yikes. Seven, eight, nine.
Yeah,
I think there's a tenth page.
Pretty quick.
So, I mean...
it's one, two, three, four, five... six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Ten.
Can you finally get to the...
yeah, to the...
So, I mean, it's pretty good writing.
Yes.
I'll give you that.
The story is, there's something there that makes me want to be like, there might be something here with that comic that makes me want to pick up, you know, a second issue, perhaps, you know. I know it's kind of a weird thing, you know, the put your devices down and you know, thing.
See, I like that whole premise. That to me yeah. was the part that worked, and I was like, okay, I'm on board with this.
Right.
It just failed to engage me and bring me in because the three quarters of the rest of the book are two people that I don't know or care about inviting other people I don't know or care about onto a tropical island getaway.
Club Dread kind of stuff.
Yeah, but to your point, you know, at the bottom you've got the scrolling serial killer doing his
serial
work.
Killer stuff.
Yeah, and I'm
I don't know. I just I don't love horror comics.
Like, I'm not sold by any means.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I could pick a second one up, and if it turns out to be good, then it is.
And that's your prerogative to me. It's like when you've got stuff like Once in Future that within the first issue.
Well, for sure. But I mean, that's an anomaly.
But hey, dude, number two could just be a crap burger. I don't know.
Hot garbage.
Yeah. But when you start off with number one and you have my attention like that, cool.
Yeah.
This, not as much.
For sure. I get that.
Yeah. Different strokes, different folks.
For sure.
So, Canto number two, I had to pick up a second printing of, which saddens me. I guess the thing I struggle with in this, I'm not sure why I like this book. I do. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I mean, the art's good.
Yes.
I think the art's probably better than the storytelling, because through two, there was about three quarters of the book where there was zero words. And you know, I've got a problem with the zero words part of it.
Right. So there was a movie, 2006, 7, 8 maybe, called In Time. Did you ever see it?
Negative.
Okay. So basically, it's a world where...
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay.
All right, I think it was Out of Time.
No, I think it's called End Time.
Is it where people have to recharge their time or they croak out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's Justin Timberlake and Amanda Siegfried. And
possibly, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
I remember not caring a whole bunch about it.
Ooh, that's fine.
But it's the same premise.
Kind of concept where you live in a world measured by time instead of by experience. So, like, in the world we live in, like, the real world, you know, an experience could kill you, where in this, if you do nothing, time eventually will kill you.
Time is the most...
is the hottest commodity.
The most precious commodity, which it is in our world, we just don't look at it that way, because...
Right. This is bringing it in the forefront.
Yes.
And I think that's an interesting perspective.
And it's a very heartwarming story.
Yes.
Other than that, I mean, it's... sorry, dude.
Even though they don't have hearts. God damn it.
I don't even mean to.
I know, because I know you mean well. It's just heartwarming.
Yeah,
man.
Well,
they don't have any hearts. They got little clocks. It's like the clock from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, or Clockwork Orange.
Not so much. No Stanley Kubrick here.
I guess I'll go to
Superman. Oh,
I mean, I've got shares.
I'm going to start us another beer.
Oh,
real
yeah,
quick.
You don't have to.
Okay. One is the Prickly Pear Daiquiri from Service.
Interesting, because I know
is
they
this
make
another
like
one that you didn't.
No, because I mean, they just had like the one daiquiri on tap.
Oh, okay.
And then you could buy a 4-pack of other beers. So I went to Vintage Stock. And I'd love me some Aftershock comics.
Yes.
I did it.
Yeah. And I picked up the first four of this. And let's just be fair. There's nothing to be buried in the title, because it says insects. Yeah.
So I'm going to guess that this comic is about insects who have sex.
How about erotic Victorian bug people?
You had me until bug people.
Okay. And then I wrote down, not sure about this. It's well drawn and engaging. I'm four issues in. I'm not sure I need more, so I'm
Have you read?
Oh, all four of them?
Absolutely. Are they good?
I'm going to let you decide.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take a look at it.
We're kind of blowing the format up a little bit. We're going to finish the dares off that we got, but I think the dares have kind of got...
Stale,
or I mean, we got away from the punitive dares, which were sort of fun to a degree, but now it's just going to be, man, if it's something that I think either one of you guys are really going to dig, then I'm going to hook you up with it.
Right.
And if you don't, then great. You don't have to drink a punishment beer, whatever's clever.
Same lady that does Animosity, right? I believe.
I don't know. It's
possibly.
I think so.
It's
that would explain a lot.
I'm telling you, it's like
it's with shotguns, baby.
Yeah, how about dragonflies with breasticles?
I'm pretty sure I've already seen that. It's called Saga Number One.
Speaking of which, what was? Oh, you told me to watch Carnival Row.
Yeah.
So I watched the first episode.
Yeah.
And I'm neither here nor there. I'm more here than there. But
I haven't seen any of it yet. I said it's a show we should watch.
How does one recommend a show to somebody they've never seen?
I don't know.
I may have misinterpreted that, but I thought it was, dude, you should watch this.
No, it wasn't.
Which,
like,
I did.
It wasn't like The Boys, where I was like, I've seen all this. Like, I've seen this. Well, and apparently Orlando Bloom's character has sex with the fairy lady.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this smells delightful.
So that's what you were going on. This. This is a show that we should watch.
It's
because Orlando Bloom
has...
I will give you credit, though, because...
Oh, yes.
Mindhunters is freaking amazing. So, have you started Mindhunters yet at all?
Who else has tasted this?
It's not me. Pretty delicious.
Not me. Not yet.
Oh wow. No, I don't think so.
You would like it a lot. It's basically the guys who coined the term serial killer. And they go and interview.
Yeah, I think I got the premise of it. All right,
they go and interview the serial killers in.
I do. Is that a Netflix one?
Yeah,
because I think I saw the the blurb on that.
Two seasons of it now. We went through both seasons.
Oh, I haven't finished the second season yet.
It's good.
Yeah, I'm like five or so, I think. But yeah, it's really good.
So that's not kid lobotomy weird, or maybe it is, but it's worth a read. I wasn't disappointed to pick the first four up, but neither am I racing out to find 5, 6, and 7.
Okay, fair enough.
Just real quick, wrapping up. I don't think any of the rest of you guys picked up the Frank Miller Romita.
I accidentally picked up number one.
I accidentally picked up number two.
You didn't accidentally pick it up. You picked it up and you brought it to the counter. Okay. And then when the guy rang it up, you were like, I still want this.
Yeah, because it says Frank Miller on the top. And that
normally
sometimes means something. So just quick recap. You read one. Did you not read one?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I haven't read one yet. I have it. I haven't read it. Because I know it's not going to be good.
Okay. So at the end of one, Clark leaves Kansas, and he heads off to the Naval Academy. Because that feels like a story we've heard before, right? So
I'm just wondering why Superman, who can fly, wants to be on the sea.
Okay. But so he tries to hide his powers, but he just can't. And they find out, you know, shooting's so easy for him that every bullet is a bullseye. So he's going to be a sniper, and then goes through SEAL training. And then he and just happens to be chilling outside on a balcony one night and sees mermaids. And, you know, of course, the commanding officer also has seen the mermaids and talks to him about the mermaids. So then he goes and chills with the mermaids for a while and helps rebuild Atlantis.
What the fuck?
And then... gets it on with Poseidon's daughter.
Yeah, I'm already done.
And then fights the Kraken.
Holy fuck.
I'm not making these things up. I mean, if anybody wants to just flip to Mermaid Land.
So
oh yeah, yep, there she is, right there.
When I hear Aquaman, I think of those things.
Yeah.
When I hear Superman, I don't think of those things.
Well, then he washes out of SEALs because
because somebody who can breathe underwater and fuck a mermaid and defeat the Kraken can't carry out top secret.
I'm telling you. So, I don't know, man. To me,
oh no, I think you do know.
Yeah, I do. I do. And I don't want to because, man, I love me some Frank Miller.
I think he's just
done some amazing things. But it was like that Xerxes thing that we both took a look at and were like, no, I'm throwing up in my mouth a little bit.
Right, but 300 was amazing.
Yeah.
But this is not.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. He's done Batman Year One, and so I think he was just like, yeah, sure, I'll do Superman. I know how to write Superman too. I don't think you do.
I don't think he does, because it doesn't, it's like, what else can you do with Superman? And maybe he's trying to do something new and fresh.
Trying to make him human, but he isn't.
Yeah. I don't even love the Romita art all that much. I just don't love his style. It just doesn't feel like a Superman story to me. You know what?
No, it sounds like a fucking Aquaman story.
I'm telling you, I think I shared on the last podcast, you know, the Up in the Sky that I think I'm the only one picking up. Was a story, the Tom King story that literally brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah. Much like Action 1000.
Yeah. So that story's there to be told. I just don't care about this one. And I don't mean that badly. I mean, it's there for somebody. So,
what is it? $7, $8?
Oh, it's not cheap.
Yeah. So my only problem with it is you have such a rich history,
man. Okay.
Of Superman titles, and there is an extensive catalog of like. What happened to Superman from the time he left Krypton to the time he became Superman. There's an entire TV show about it, you know?
Yeah. I
don't know that a Year One comic for Superman was necessary.
Yeah. So. Well, nothing's necessary. Nothing's necessary. It's just not a story I want to read. I think that's a better way of putting it. It's just...
All right, let me be
somebody,
more...
Dude, somebody may be down with Superman, like, hey, he can breathe underwater, and he's, you know, messing around with Poseidon's daughter. It's just not me.
Those are the same people that like metal.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I had a couple dares, and... Vader Dark Visions.
Yep. That's what it says.
The art was decent. I don't understand the story. It was Vader fighting a shark.
Yeah. But it was the writing that was like the language that was being used. And the fact that like it's coming from a perspective of someone who doesn't know that Darth Vader is evil. Because these people are like primitive. They don't know of the Empire. They don't know of the, you know, he's really a bad person. And he comes and basically saves them.
He fights Jaws.
He saves them from the shark. So I just thought it was interesting that if you take a perspective of someone who doesn't know of you and you do a kind thing.
Oh, but he wasn't going to.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, though. It looks like he's doing a kind thing, but then he shows his true nature. But I think it was funny to me that the language in the beginning when he's describing the person is describing Darth Vader, it almost seems like he's a good person.
Yeah.
He's coming to save us.
The White Knight, except he's in black.
Yeah, and he has a red... You know, beam sword or whatever. You know, it was the language that really got me and why I wanted to check it out.
It wasn't bad. Yeah. It just didn't speak to me.
Well, and I mean, it's a one and done kind of thing, because each like two is a completely different story and three is a completely different story. So maybe that's why you didn't like it, because it was like just a open shut. I don't know.
It just in your vernacular, it felt like it's like, why do we need this?
Oh, we don't need it.
Yeah,
but. The language is what I was getting at.
The second I had, let me show you the cover first. Men of Wrath, trade paperback, Jason Aaron. Eric, would you just read like the first paragraph?
Okay.
And this is just the intro.
Sometime around 1900, my great-great-grandfather, Ira Aaron, stabbed a man to death in an argument over some sheep.
That's it, right there.
Okay.
That's the best introduction to a book I may have ever heard.
Wow.
That's true story.
Huh.
Years later, in 1924, Sammy Aaron, my great-grandfather, would meet his own strange demise. He'd die of rabies after being bitten by a rabid dog.
See, that's shit you just okay. can't make up. Like that you just can't. You, I mean,
it's escaping me.
Southern Bastards.
Yeah, okay.
And it feels like that's the kind of town he grew up in, so this is straight in his wheelhouse. I would definitely read that if I were you. I think it's well done. Yeah. And I really liked it. And that you talking about Middle West really made me think of, because he's changed the names, but it's the same sort of things. Dude starts off with knifing a dude over some sheep. And then another relative dies, of rabies. And I feel like maybe that in Middle West are that same sort of thought of it's like the wrath men can't escape this curse of being violent. Yeah. And, dad's pretty much a hitman, and he gets a hit out on his own son.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's dark. Nice. It's dark, but it's well written, and I enjoyed the snot out of it.
Cool.
Sweet. Okay.
So.
I had it here a second ago. I don't know where I
went. What are you looking for, sir?
This.
Well, we got to vote on the beer of the pot,
I know,
sir.
Just okay. getting it.
All right. So we didn't make it through all, which is good because I'll save one for next time.
Yeah.
In my mind, I mean, the Sour Apple, I gave it 5 stars, man. The Going Coastal, I gave about 3 stars, and that's probably being generous. The Strawberry Daiquiri, 5 stars. The Crooked Stave, 5 stars. The Prickly Pear, I gave that bad boy 10 stars, man. That is just amazing.
The stars only go to 5. Okay. I gave it 5 extra.
Yeah, that's darn tootin'.
Darn tootin'.
Yeah, I don't know that I can really pick one. I thought all the service ones were really good, and
the shocking thing to me is I feel like I've only had one beer tonight, and that was the Going Coastal. Because to me, the rest of them didn't taste like beers.
Like
that's fair.
Especially the daiquiri. Zero alcohol. It's just flavor. Which is dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could drink a 4-pack of those and get fucked up.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's not like they're 7 or 8%, but 5% is enough.
They're still tall boys, yeah. Too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, they're great.
Everything but the Going Coastal. And I didn't hate it.
No, and I was just trying
just
to throw that in.
Compared to the other ones.
Yeah, for sure. Comparatively, it's not good. Plus, if that's replacing the Tropical Lover,
sadness,
then
get negative stars.
Yeah. Take some away from you. All right. Well, that's going to conclude this issue of Portographic. You can find us at Portographic PC on Twitter, Portographic Podcast on Facebook, Portographic on SoundCloud. And if you want to email us, it's @trashpandaradio@gmail.com. All of this information will also be in the description below. Like and subscribe, and
#breakfree.